We come to the final message in our series on the parables that are unique to Luke's Gospel, those parables of Jesus that are only found in Luke. These two tonight are in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 14, which is read to us. They're the parable, firstly, of the widow who persisted with her case until the unjust judge took notice and gave her justice. Secondly, the parable of the self-righteous Pharisee and the penitent publican in prayer. Both these parables are to do with prayer. Now, if you are a man or a woman of God, you are bound to have a deep longing for the triumph of goodness in the world, in the nation, in the church, in your family, your home, and in your own individual life. Goodness in terms of healing of the body, the mind, the forgiveness of sin, love, joy, peace, hope, etc. These things are good. And if you're a man of God or a woman of God, you'll be longing for the triumph of Jesus in the world, next, and in your own life. And this will be the heart of your prayer to God for the world, the nation, the church, your family, and yourself. But you will not get complete satisfaction for that long until heaven and earth are reunited at the end of this present age, when Christ will come again in glory. All the answers to your prayer and longing will only be incomplete until that day. So you will always, while you live on this earth, have that love. You will always then have that strength. And the message of the first parable in this passage is, do not give your strength and your love for these things. The parable is of the how much more variety. If even an unjust judge will give justice to a persistent widow, how much more will God give us justice when we persist with him in prayer? Give us his children justice when we persist with him. Notice the verses that immediately precede this parable at the end of Luke 17. In verse 35 onwards, Jesus is speaking of the end of the world. He says, two women will be grinding bread together, one will be taken and the other left. Where, Lord, they come? He replied, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. The implication there is that the world will get worse. It will sink to die. Just before that final day of the Lord. And at the end of these parables, what do we read? In chapter 18, verse 8, I tell you, Jesus said, about God, asking our prayers, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, that's the second coming of Christ, will he find faith on him? The implication there is that faith reaches certain parts of the world, which means it's a minute before that great day, when it comes again at the end of the age. In other words, our longing for the triumph of goodness, but our prayers will become great as time goes on, not less. Let's look at verse 6 to 8. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge said. The unjust judge said, right, I'm going to give justice to this widow, because he keeps on persisting with me, and I'm weary of it. So I'll just give her what she wants. Verse 7. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen one? You cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Now, we're told by the commentators on this passage that the Greek behind this passage is rather difficult to translate. Really, it means this, that God bears long with the world. He is very patient with the world, and he postpones the time of his coming again. He postpones the time of his wrath upon the earth. And that is why the kingdom of God seems to delay in its coming. So we have to be patient as we wait for that day. Because God is postponing his wrath and his mercy until all peoples have heard the message. But when he does answer all our longings and all our prayers at the end of the age, he will answer speedily. As the lightning flashes to the east, to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Before that day, his answers to our prayers are tokens of what will happen in that final day. For example, we may pray for a friend that he or she may be healed of an illness. And we may find that God answers that prayer and that the person is healed. Yet that can only be a partial answer, because that person will get ill again one day and die. We all die. So that prayer cannot be complete. That answer cannot be complete. We may have been praying for justice in Romania, just to give an example. An answer to the prayer is that President Ceausescu has been overthrown. Does that mean that our prayer is completely answered? No, it doesn't. There is still injustice and uncertainty and hardship in that country, as there is in many countries. As a minister, I pray that more people will come to the David's church. And you pray that too. And the answer is from God is that some new people do come into our church. So there are many still outside. And the answer to your prayer and my prayer for our church can never be complete, because there will always be some on the outside, however great the revival. And so when God answers our prayers in this world, it is only partial. The final answer is at the last day. So we must persist in prayer. Chapter 18, 1-3 again. And Jesus told his disciples this parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Then in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. The Old Testament commanded that widows should be looked after. Exodus 22, verses 22 and 23, we read, do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. If you do, and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. In those days, a judge conducted his judgments in a movable tent. He went in a tent from one town and village to another. And anyone could come and listen in to his judgments, the court cases. But in this case, there would be three obstacles to stop the woman getting to him. First of all, the very fact that she was a woman, and therefore had low status in that time, at that time, would make it very difficult for her to get to the judge. Secondly, she had no husband to stand with her, to help her. Thirdly, she was poor. She could not bribe this unjust judge. She succeeded by sheer persistence. Verse 4 and 5. For some time he, that's the unjust judge, refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Jesus tells us that the persistence of this woman is an example to us. And he says to us, we must pray and not faint. The end of the previous chapter had spoken about the carcass of the vultures. The smell of the rotting carcass would make us faint. We breathe the atmosphere of an unbelieving society and a faithless society every day in our lives, don't we? This can weaken our Christian life and make us faint. When we pray, we lift our heads into the divine atmosphere so that we might be kept alive. Jesus says here we must always pray. That doesn't mean to say that we're constantly repeating prayers. We do not have to think all the time, I am praying, I am praying. Just as you breathe all the time, you don't think you're breathing all the time. The only time you actually think about breathing is if you're suffocating. And so we should pray at all times. Means that our desire and our longing should be there with us in all our life. Our desire and our longing for God's kingdom should always be with us. And it should be expressed from time to time in words when we speak to God. Now remember, this parable is about a contrast. The contrasting the widow with us, contrasting the judge with God. The widow was a stranger to the judge. We are God's children in Christ. All our hairs are numbered. Our high priest, the Lord himself, knows our weaknesses. He shared in our fallen humanity. Suffered disappointment, weakness, and temptation like us. All these things he knows. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Psalm 139 says he knows when we get up. He knows how we are when we lie down. He knows every word that is on our mouth and in our thoughts. He knit us together in our mother's womb. Secondly, the widow had no right of access to the judge, but we do have access to the Father. Jesus died for our sins and has risen and ascended to the Father, taking us with him so that we can claim all the promises of God. Thirdly, the widow had no friend in the court to speak for her. The New Testament tells us that we do have an advocate, a barrister, with the Father, to speak on our behalf. Jesus Christ, the righteous, is, as it were, our lawyer, our advocate, our barrister. So there is the contrast between the widow and ourselves. Then there's the contrast between God and the judge. The judge is unjust and lazy. God is just and spares no effort to fulfill his purposes in the world. The judge could be bribed by the rich. We are saved by his free grace. Jesus paid the price for our sin. And in another sense, this is where the similarity, not a contrast. We are, in one sense, before the court. Always. I don't know what you think about the death penalty. Some of us at the young adult fellowship on Thursday night were watching an interview between Dr. James Dobson
and a man who is about to suffer the electric chair in Florida after murdering 28 people, including children. And it was an interview with him about the influence of hardcore pornography on extreme crime. Anyway, that's not what I want to speak about now. But the fact was, he was going to be executed. They still have the death penalty in the United States. You may or may not agree with the death penalty. But what happens, what one is doing, if one is a Christian and believes in the death penalty, as some Christians do, is really to refer the case to the highest court of all. In the case of murder, one is saying, right, this person we are sending to the court before which one day all of us will appear. The court where God is the judge. That's the real high court. And all of us will appear in one sense before that court, because God is the judge and we are the judge. Now, in the ancient, when a prisoner was found not guilty and declared righteous, it was said that he was justified. So we need to be justified before the judge of all the earth. But how can we be justified before God when we've all done wrong? Paul says in the New Testament that we are justified by faith. The Lord Jesus bore our condemnation in his body on the cross, taking our wrongdoing away. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, he vindicated him. That was God declaring Jesus not guilty. Man in the court, the law courts, had testified that Jesus was guilty, and they sentenced him to be crucified. But God declared him not guilty by raising him from the dead. God vindicated him and declared him righteous. And through faith in him, God declares us righteous in Christ. Christ embraces all of us, takes our wrongdoing, dies and rises again, so that believing in him, we might be justified. We might be righteous before the court, that highest of all courts, where God himself will be judged. And that being justified is the subject of the next parable in just a few moments on. And that is in verse 9 of Luke 18. To those who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. To those who are confident in their own righteousness, he told this parable. That is, those who thought they did not need Christ, that they had enough righteousness of their own. Jesus said this. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. To be justified, the publican went home justified. And that needs to be our first prayer for ourselves. We may pray for many things, for healing, for peace, etc., etc. But first, we must be put right with the judge of all the earth. That is, we must be justified. The Pharisee's prayer, we read that he was praying about himself. His prayer was not focused on God. He was not praying with the mind of God. He was speaking about his own self-righteousness. And secondly, in his prayer, he was comparing himself with another. He said, I'm not like that man. in its prayer. Let me say to you, dear friends, and to myself, in the presence of God, when you're praying, when I'm praying, let us not compare ourselves with others. Don't say in your prayer, that man or that woman is better than me. Because if you do that, you'll think of yourself as a hopeless case. Or don't think in your prayer, that man or that woman is worse than me, therefore I must be all right. Don't do that. We do not know the inside of any other person. It's before God we stand or fall. That was the real fault of the Pharisee's prayer. He was comparing himself with someone else in the presence of God. The publican's prayer was simply, have mercy upon me. He went home just in time. He could then really begin to pray for God's people, for his family, nation, the world. I remember at one time in my life as a university student feeling that I was not justified before the judge of all the earth. And when I look back upon that time, I realized it was because I was comparing myself with others. In union at the church, thinking that some were better and some were worse. That's no good. Only when one reaches the point and one looks to God alone, says, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner, one can then really know the justification, the glory through Christ. And I hope you pray. With all of us, you have that humble confidence of the public that he went home from the place of work, knowing that he was just enough. May God bless us all. Thank you. Dear Lord God, you have given your Son to bear away our sins, so that we might be put right with the judge of all the earth. Who is you, our Lord and God. We pray that you will keep us in that inner longing, the truth of goodness, the love and mercy, the peace and healing in our own lives, lives of our friends, lives of our home, lives of our church, nation and world. That we might be ready for that day when all these longings shall be satisfied, when the Lord himself will come to judge the world with righteousness and truth, to save those who look upon his name and call for him. We pray in his name and for his sake. Amen.